this morning, I am excited to be back in the Word of God. I love preaching. The main reason I like preaching is because guess what you do the whole week before or two, depending? You study. You get in the Word of God. You learn. You grow. Right now, I have some people that they help me out. They send me some notes and some thoughts on the text that we're going to be using. And I love getting other people's thoughts and their opinions and what God is speaking to them through commentaries and all of those. So I love getting the Word of God in my heart. And what better to do than to then share that with a whole bunch of your friends? And that's why I love Sunday mornings. I love preaching and just bringing the Word of God. This morning, we're in the second part of our Anything is Possible series. Last week, we talked about anything being possible when we fear the Lord. And once again, this is not like I'm scared to death of God. Although I would rather be scared to death of God and do right than just do my own thing and be wrong. You know, I would much rather just be scared. But the thought behind that is to honor and to respect. Maybe like a really good dad that you don't want to disappoint, because they are going to push you in the right way. The good things are going to come. Blessing comes when we honor our Heavenly Father. And so today, I encourage you, fear the Lord, right? Because it's the beginning of wisdom. So it's a great place to start. If you're not there this morning, ask Him, Lord, help me to honor you, respect you, submit myself to you. But today, we're going to jump forward to Psalm 130. And we're going to look at how anything is possible when we wait on the Lord. Anything is possible when we wait on the Lord. Certain seasons of life, waiting is the most difficult thing possible, right? Anybody, do you hate waiting? Is there anybody that's honest out here? You just, waiting is not your thing. I see some hands. They're going up. It's like a trickle. They're waiting actually right now to raise their hand. Most of us don't really like just to wait. If you have a vacation coming, my kids, they're a great example. You don't really want to tell them about a vacation too early, because you're going to hear every single day, how many sleeps until vacation? 149. You know, you're like 148. You know, every single day. Or their birthday. You know, the waiting is not normally our favorite thing to do. And this psalm, I like that it goes with waiting on the Lord at the same time that it's what we would call a lament. So it is a song of ascent, and what that means is that when the children of Israel be walking back to Jerusalem or back to the temple, they would sing these ascents that are here surrounding this one here in Psalm 130, about 15 chapters worth, and they would be singing these as praise to the Lord or as a proclamation of what God was doing in their life. So the song of ascents. But then lament is a whole nother thing. Some people might look at lament and say that it is complaining or whining or maybe even yelling at God. That could happen in lament. It's possible, but that's not what the point of lament is. A song of lament or a psalm of lament is a powerful prayer of worship, where the one who is singing it or the writer expresses their earnest and painful situation to the Lord to seek Him out. So it's utilizing the language of pain to cross the chasm between the God you know and the reality of your situation. Right now, how many of you, we talked about waiting, we don't really like that, but how many of you love pain? Well, you're the only, yeah, only one, and he's a student, so what can you say? But right, nobody likes pain. Nobody wants pain. Now, and even more, maybe even more than pain, is there aren't a lot of people who like to air their pain for the world to know. Most people don't love it just to tell everybody. Now, every once in a while, you find a person that just loves to tell the world about their pain. And maybe that's a healthy thing for them. I don't know. But most of us, we don't want to do that. And we definitely don't want to sing a song of our pain. I mean, that just doesn't sound, my son, in fact, right here, he's just laughed. Like, why would you do that? Like, but here we see throughout the word that a song of lament, a singing to God, a giving of our pain in worship or in prayer can be a valuable thing that sometimes we need to do. Sometimes we need to get real with ourselves and maybe real with our community around us that there's something that needs to happen. In fact, I would say that the godly things that are happening when it comes to protests, when it comes to racial reconciliation, the godly things of that, a lot of it is kind of a lament. It's a, Lord, this is not right. This is not good. What do we do about it? Lord, how do we come to a place of understanding and of growth in you? In fact, today at 3:00, the West Side, there's going to be a prayer walk. And if you wanted to go, I could get you information on it. And it's at 3 o'clock. What's that going to be? To some degree, it's going to be a prayer of lament, probably followed by a prayer of, Lord, now lead us and guide us. Lead us to what you would have us to do. So there's this prayer of lament that comes forth. We don't like prayers of lament because pain does not sell. Laments call out our preference for convenient emotion and likable interaction. We much prefer that over sitting in another's pain, which makes us nervous and uncomfortable. We believe that praise is worship and that grief and repentance are not appropriate sometimes. That may be not what we would say, but that's kind of where we how we act. Is pain is not a it's not okay. God wouldn't allow pain to happen, which isn't a very biblical thought. But we can be there and we can be in that spot. We don't like these things. We prefer privacy. We fail to understand lament as the mechanism that God has given us so that we can meet him in our pain. And so with the very beginning, before we dive into Psalm 130, I want to encourage you that maybe right now you are walking in a bit of pain, maybe a lot of pain. And you know what? It's okay to come to the Lord and to offer that to him. In fact, maybe right where you are, you just say, Lord, I'm struggling. This is hard. Lord, there's something in my life. Lord, there's something that's happening. Maybe that's public on the news or on social media all over, or maybe something that's nothing related to that at all. And Lord, would you help me in my pain? I offer you my pain. I give you my pain. I just want to touch one more time on that thought of a popular faith view views suffering as failure. And if that is the case, every single person, I think I could say, in the Bible, was a failure. Because pain is something that is unfortunately a part of life. Now, we're not alone in our pain. We're not alone in our suffering. That's why we can lament. That's why we can call out to God. But this popular faith view is that there's no pain, no suffering. I'm never going to have a problem. And I don't see that lived out in the lives of anybody in the Bible. And in our life, we can understand, I'm not going to wallow in my pain, but I am going to experience moments of pain where I can bring it to God and let God come and work in my life and change me and mold me and take away that pain many times, which is great, which would be where I know that we all would want to be. Maybe the issue with lament, boiling it all down, is that if you don't know it, many of us, maybe all of us, have somewhat of an entitled mentality in different areas. And lament kind of goes against my entitlement. It goes against that I have the right. I am good. I've got it. I've got it under control because I have to offer the deepest parts of myself to the Lord. And so that's what we're going to see here over the next few minutes, that anything is possible when we wait on the Lord. And I believe anything is possible when we're willing to cry out to the Lord with whatever is going on in our life. So we see right here in Psalm 130, verses 1 and 2, it says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. Right off the bat, we see, I believe in a moment of waiting on the Lord, is that there is a cry for mercy. There is a cry for mercy. Lord Jesus, come, help me in my situation, in my problem. And in fact, when it comes to mercy here, most likely relating to sin, most likely relating to issues or problems that might be internal, that might be something that even we have caused. We see this cry from the depths in Psalm 71:20, the depths of the earth, and in Psalm 86:13, depths of the grave. The depths of the innermost parts is where he cries from. And to be real with God, it's not a surface level thing, our walk with him, but it's internal. It's from the very innermost parts of who we are. And we cry out to the Lord for whatever that need might be, for whatever's going on, for our salvation. It's a cry from the depths, our innermost being. Could be of danger, right? It could be of innermost overwhelming situation in your life that we can cry out. Many times in our life, we can experience depths of maybe poverty or sorrow or confusion or pain, right? When people come against us, maybe one of the biggest things I know for many people is when someone you love and that you think loves you, when they really hurt you, oh, there's nothing that can be worse than those cries from the depths and those hurts from those that are close to us. But the number one place we must cry out for is for the mercy of our God. Because everything else is covered when God is with you and he's poured his love out upon you. He cries out, in fact, here in verse 1, oh Lord, twice the repetition of his cry of the from the depths to his God, his creator, and his Lord. Your cry for mercy takes the attention off of your sin and places it on God. It takes the attention off of your problem and it places on God. When we lament and we cry out and we pray to the Lord, it's saying, I do not have the answers. I cannot fix it. But you, God, you can do what I cannot do. You, God, can make new in my life. You, God, can heal and restore. You can make me a person of peace instead of war. Lord, you can take fear and anxiety and turn it into peace and calm and trust. When we cry out from the depths, we're taking from us the attention off of us and who we are and what we've done, and we give it to God and let him be Lord of our life. As it continues in verse 3 and 4, it says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. There's a cry for mercy that prayerfully and thankfully leads to the realization of forgiveness. It leads to the fact that we are not on our own. We're not all by ourselves. No matter what you feel or what you think, you're not on your own. But God is with you and he gives you forgiveness. He gives you wholeness. He wants to move in your life. This word rendered mark is literally to keep or to watch. And we're going to look as that word comes up again here in verse 6. But it's a word of hope, because if the Lord kept watch, if he looked at your sin and my sin, we would be in huge trouble. As it says, who could stand? But with our Lord, there's forgiveness. With our Lord, there's healing. With our Lord, whether it's self-induced pain, or whether it's pain caused by others, or whether it's pain that's just because we live in a fallen world, he is with us and he walks beside us. He doesn't mark our iniquities, our shortcomings, but he wants to offer forgiveness. And I love that here, going back to 128, that it says that you may be feared. What better thing when we give ourselves to God and he gives us our forgiveness, to realize he's the one to be honored and respected. He's the one to submit all to. He's the one to fear, because nothing else can stand against him. Nothing else can get in the way. God is more interested in freeing your soul than marking your iniquities. And I feel that sometimes we lose track of what God wants to do in our life. He's not looking to mark it all down and to say the things you've done, but he wants to free you and give you new life and hope. He wants to offer you hope and maybe a marriage that isn't how you thought it should be. Guess what? He's the one that's not saying you messed up and you, but he wants to offer freedom to you. And he wants to offer a restoration to you. Maybe in your job or in your work or with your children, something that maybe you've even felt has been long gone. God is the one that restores and brings freedom and brings hope to. He wants to free you in his power and through his love. It's a cry for mercy, a realization of forgiveness that leads to a very interesting portion that is the watchman in waiting. Verse 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. I wait, he says. Now, he doesn't just wait. And it's not just about being there, but it says my soul waits, and in his word I hope. There's something about waiting on the Lord, but not talking about getting under your bed and hiding, not talking about being in a place where no one can see you, but letting the word of God become real and active in your life, hoping in the word of God. When I wait on the Lord for a healing, or when I wait on the Lord for freedom in something, or wait on the Lord for what we believe he's spoken, or a vision or a dream that he's laid out before me, I don't wait passively, but I'm active in that waiting process. I'm letting him speak, letting him transform, letting him make me new. Because if not, I might never get to what I'm supposed to get to. But when I'm actively working and I'm actively letting his word make me new, then there's something exciting on the horizon. And in fact, here I mentioned the word mark back in verse 3. That if you, O Lord, should mark my iniquities. And here we saw the word watchman. It's the same word used in both places. Here, more than watchman for the morning, more than watchman for the morning. Thus, the usage of watchman in verse 6 is a play on ideas continuing from verse 3. The idea being conveyed is, if you watch all sins, I will watch for you, that much more than even the watchman. I will watch for you and take care of you. He's saying, I'm going to watch for sin. I'm going to watch for what I need to deal with. I'm going to watch for those things. And God is not watching you for sin, but he's going to watch you and take care of you in forgiveness. He's going to watch you and take care of you in the areas that you can't really have any control over. He's going to take care of you in so many different ways. When my soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, God can move and restore. In fact, in Psalms 127, this idea of watchmen can be tied together in verse 1. These would likely be the guards that watched over their cities throughout the night until morning. These guards do everything they can to stay up all night and remain diligent. And the psalmist is convinced that he can be even more watchful than they when it comes for watching for the Lord. I love war movies. I absolutely love war movies. But you know what I think? Every time there's a big battle, something takes place, and then they dig in. A lot of times they're in holes, like old World War II movies or just Vietnam, whatever it might be, and they're in there. And a lot of times there's two people. There could be more, but it feels like two seems to be the number. And it's like, well, who's going to take watch first? And I don't know about anybody else, but staying up all night long after travel and hiking and walking and battle, that sounds terrible. But they have to stay attentive to watch, because I've seen movies, war movies, where the person falls asleep, and when they wake up, the enemy is right on them. And in that moment, that is not a good place to be. If you've seen it, if you can just imagine it, people with bayonets back in the day, and I don't want any part of that. But you know what? When they stay up and they watch the horizon, they watch the earth, even when it's dark, they hear a twig snap, they experience it, then they are prepared and they can be victorious. And they're saying in our life, when we wait on the Lord and we become watchmen to guard ourselves, to protect ourselves from things that the word of God makes clear, I don't need it to be in my life, then I can be victorious in so much in my life, because as I watch my life, as I watch and don't participate in and don't become a part of things that are not going to pour love and grace and mercy to our world, that aren't going to be helpful, I think, in this day and age. If I stay away from those things, God is watching, not marking my iniquities, but he's going to watch for me above what I can do and above who I can be on my own. And I believe that the watchman in waiting does not miss the moving of the Lord. That he does not miss, she does not miss what God is doing, whether it be a small thing in a home situation with one of your children, whether it be a large thing, which might be actually the swift way, but it might be something out in public, or when you're just in the community, or maybe at your job, or maybe with your family, a greater family, whatever it might be. God wants to watch and he wants to move, and we will not miss the moving of God when I'm watching the horizon, waiting for the morning, waiting for what God has done. And when I see something that's not right, I get it out of my life, because I've been watching and he's been telling me. I've been in his word and the goodness of God is being poured forth. There's a cry for mercy, a realization of forgiveness, the watchman in waiting, and the last thing, verse 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The redeeming hope. I can cry all I want. I can realize forgiveness and see it somewhere. I can be watching and waiting. But if my redeeming hope, if the God of the universe is not here for me, not here for you, then we are in big trouble. As a society, we are in big trouble. It says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. And it goes from internal one person to my God cares about my community, he cares about my country, he cares about the people around me. And what better time than right now does our world need us to be watchmen, need us to be waiting on the Lord, need us to be plugged into who he is and letting our redeeming hope flow through us. Not our ideas and what we've always thought and what we've always been taught or whatever. Who cares about any of that? But what does the word of God speak? What does the redeeming hope speak in your life and in my life? Because if we will be watchmen, if we will hope in the Lord, he is our answer. And God's redeeming hope moves through you to impact your community. When you are a watchman, when you take care of what God is doing in your life, when you apply his word to your life, then he takes what you do and applies it and works through you to make a difference to the people around you. Maybe in your home, maybe in the place that you work or your sphere of influence, to your community, to a greater level. That's what God has called us to do, but not because we're doing it ourselves, but because we're watching as we're in his word, because he's watching for us and giving us opportunity that we can't have on our own. And this morning, I want to encourage you. Maybe you feel like, maybe you feel just disconnected from what God is doing. Today is the day to say, Lord, I want to be a watchman. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to plug into you. I'm going to just be what you have me to be. And when we let him do that in our life, there's a new blessing. There's a new encouragement. There's something exciting that happens. Because he's not marking our iniquities, but he wants to free you and make you whole. And this morning, if you say, I'm struggling, maybe sin or addiction or fear or worry or anxiety, today is the day to say, Lord, I'm going to start getting in your word. I'm going to be a watchman of my life. I'm not going to let stuff be there that shouldn't. And Lord, now it's what you can do as you bring forgiveness, as you bring redeeming hope to me, as you make a difference in my community, as I just say yes to what you have. When I hear a stick snap out in the woods, in some bunker somewhere in the spirit, I'm not just gonna let it go, but I'm gonna be awake, I'm alert, and I'm ready to respond. Lord, how do you want me to respond? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go from here? Radiant Life, if you wouldn't mind standing up here in the room or at home, I just wanna pray a prayer of blessing on you. Today, it's not about what I would say. It is about what the word would say, but it's about how we respond to his word. And I'm praying that we would be watchmen, the church, individuals as a whole, like we've never been before. And because we are, that God will speak and he'll take care of our problems and our prejudice and our issues and our worries and our concerns in so many different areas, because he wants to bring wholeness and hope to you. And I thank him that I get to walk in that and you to walk in that anytime that we're willing to let him move and to let him speak. So Lord, this morning, I'm just thankful for Radiant Life Church, a bunch of people, God, that they desire you and they want the best of you. Lord, I thank you for a group that would let you speak earlier and throughout this time, God, your words, and then put those in our comments and text those things in. But Lord, I pray that above anything, Lord, I don't want to be hyper spiritual, but Lord, I want to be maybe a hyper watchman, God, of my life. I want to watch, Lord, and be sure that I don't let anything get in the way. I don't let anything slip by the enemy or through the enemy lines. I don't want to let anything happen in my life that doesn't line up with you. But help me to be a watchman. Help us as a church, Lord, to be watchmen of our lives. And Lord, I pray that as that happens, Lord, that we would come together. Lord, that we would be a community, Lord, that follows hard after you. And because of that, the redeeming hope, you, Jesus, would shine through us. Lord, that as people cry for mercy today, Lord, I pray you would show them your forgiveness, the realization of that. You'd show them your touch, show them your love, God, maybe like they've never felt before. Lord, so that we all can experience your redeeming hope, a hope that moves through us to impact our community. And God, that is our prayer, that one more person would see Jesus, that one more person's life would line up with you and your kingdom, that one more person, Lord, would just be able to say yes to what you have so that our world and our community, Lord, can be impacted by you and your kingdom. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we glorify you today. Lord, help us to wait on you. Help us to truly believe that anything is possible when we wait upon you, Jesus. You're so good. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Radiant Life, I thank you for coming today and for listening to what God has, I believe, from the word through worship. And I encourage you to continue to let God speak. Continue to let God pour himself out. And let's be watchmen. Let's be watchmen. Let's wait on the Lord. And anything is possible when we do. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a great week.